welcome to part three of our series, Financial Peace on Earth. And I hope you've enjoyed this series. It's really a different kind of series in a Christmas season, but I think it's one that we desperately need. Let me say, before I say anything else, I want to welcome all those that are just joining us online, that are checking out our church from different places, and just welcome you, and you're a part of us today. Come on, everybody, give it up for those that are welcoming, that are here online. And so glad to have all of you, and really excited about today. A lot of work has gone into preparation as we are preparing for our community candlelight service that you just heard about. I just want to highlight that and try to really encourage you to not only come, but to invite others to come with you this evening. We've announced this, that it will start at 6 o'clock, but let me just back up just a little bit and say that what's really important is refreshments start at 5:30, okay? So come early. You can get a sort of a preview if you like, and that is go by the cafe on the way out, and you'll see the beautiful setup that I want to give a shout-out to Karen Stone, who really outdid herself on that, and appreciate her and her work and as our Dream Team coordinator and all that she's doing. Let me also say something about the guy sitting next to her, Dwayne Stone, who is our worship pastor and has done a phenomenal job and a lot of work, and that shout-out goes out to him as well as this entire worship and production team that have just done a phenomenal job. And just getting things set for this evening. A lot of hours, a lot of behind the scenes. They were actually here at 7:30 this morning, y'all, okay? And they'll be here at 3:30, y'all, okay? We're in the South, right? And so I just want to say thanks to all the labor of love and everything that goes into to what we do here as a church. Our goal here as a church is that we make a difference. We want things done with excellence, and we don't necessarily consider ourselves excellent, but we're striving, okay? We want to get better, and because it's for the glory of God and for his all for his credit, but we want to make a difference and impact people's lives to, that they may be influenced to understand who Jesus Christ is and come to have a personal relationship with him. That's what it's all about. So be sure and come tonight and encourage you with that. We're actually going to have, weather permitting, luminaries set outside. It's going to be just a beautiful event. So be sure and come. This is the time you need to invite somebody to come with you and be a part of this. That all happens today. So God bless you. Let me just jump right into this series. You know, as we have went through this series, we've set this up this way, that we all understand that we hurt. We have different areas of need and pain in our life. In fact, that pain and hurt sometimes happens not just in the Christmas season. It happens all year long, but it seems like it's more felt during the Christmas season. It seems to compound or culminate at the end of the year. And if there's one area that we all share in that oftentimes that we experience pain in, and that is in the area of our finances. And so we just want to give you some things, I believe, in a season that are going to help you in an area where there is need. And so we do believe that you can't fix your debt or your financial problems in 3 weeks. So I'm not proposing we're trying to fix all that within 3 weeks. We actually have something that we've been promoting through this series that is offered next semester in our next small group semester. It's Financial Peace University. That actually is going to be facilitated by the couple I just highlighted, Dwayne and Karen Stone. They're going to be leading that, facilitating that. It's a Dave Ramsey course. We're going to have other small groups as well under the direction of our small groups pastor, Steve Guptill, who does a phenomenal job. And so we're excited about that, but I just wanted to accent that one particular small group, because if this is an area of need in your life, I encourage you to get in that class. It's a 9-week course. I mean, really, there are some things in there that will really help you. Now, that's the thing that takes time, though, is recovery. But we believe that while recovery takes time, we know that peace can be immediate. Peace can be experienced in the now. And that's the purpose of this series, is that in the midst of all this, that we can experience peace. The first week we talked about the main culprit of our destruction of peace, and that is this myth that we have got to have more. We're discontented and we need more to make things work in our life. We understand a startling statistic that 136 that of American people, 136%, or no, I said that wrong, I'll get it right, that of people in America, they spend 136% more than their income. Now, that didn't sound right either. They spend 136%. Is that right? Am I saying that right? I need to slow down and get this right. All right. So here's the issue that we dealt with in that, and that it's a hard issue. It's not a financial issue. It's a hard issue. This idea that we've got to have more and more is better, and if I could just have this and that or the other, then I would be happy. And so I encourage you to go online and check that out, that message, if you missed that, and download the notes there. And I believe there's some things that will help you with that. Last week we talked about the Prince of Peace, and that there are principles with the Prince of Peace that we're to follow in order for us to experience peace. Today's going to be a little bit of a strange message, especially during this Christmas season. But I believe as a pastor, one of my jobs is to prepare you for what may happen. And I'm talking about in the world of finances. What may happen even to us as a country in the area of our finances. Now, we know that things are, in this world that we live, things are very volatile. We know that things can happen overnight in a moment. Things can change very quickly. We've seen that happen. I remember years ago I was actually sharing with the church as I was ministering about how that, you know, the stock market could fall, you know, tomorrow. Well, it so happened it did that week. It actually fell and collapsed. I heard of people that committed suicide in the midst of that. And it's just, so we never know what can happen. I'm not proposing that tragedy is going to happen financially to our country, but I will say this, we can't keep making the decisions that we've been making and expect there not to be pain. There's going to be pain. I mean, we're how many trillions of dollars in debt now that it's a mess. But not only that, but even personally, sometimes we continue to make wrong decisions that produce pain in our life. So I'm not prophesying that our nation is going to experience financial collapse, but I do know that the world is changing, and overnight things can happen in a moment. So I'm going to give you some things to help prepare you for what if. And even if that never happens, we all need to be prepared for that day. That day when maybe personal tragedy happens, when things fall apart, whether it be finances or otherwise, something unexpected happens, a tragedy in your home, a death in your family, something happens that shakes you. And while even this past year has been an amazing year, and many have come to Christ during this year, and we've seen some phenomenal things happen, some growth happening personally, we've seen people coming to Christ. Yet, even in the midst of that, I know that many of you have suffered loss and suffered some tragedies, even some loss within your own family. And the question is, can you have peace even if? And honestly, I believe, I need to prepare you for what may happen. And I do believe that the Bible gives us clear instructions as to what our response should be if that were to take place. And so I'm going to give you some verse-by-verse principles. I'm going to go to the book of Philippians, which is a letter. It's in the Bible, we call them epistles, but it's simply a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to some churches that he planted. These are called epistles. Well, he planted one in Philippi, so we call this the book of Philippians. And Paul wrote this while in prison experiencing his worst days. He was actually awaiting execution. He was chained. He was in prison and chained to a guard. Now, if anybody has the right to talk to us about bad days, I think Paul has the right to talk to us about bad days. And it was Paul, even in the midst of such a terrible situation, he talks about joy. Throughout this book, he talks about joy. In fact, even in the book of Corinthians, one of the Corinthian letters, Paul lists some of his bad days. He said that five times he received 39 lashes. You know, the 39 lashes that Jesus received once, it almost could have killed him, those alone. Paul received that five times. He was shipwrecked. He had a time where he was shipwrecked for a full night and day. He was bobbing around in the Mediterranean Sea until he finally made landfall and swam ashore And then when he got ashore, he crawls ashore and he builds himself a fire. A snake comes and bites him out of the fire. I mean, this guy, I mean, he couldn't win for losing, right? And so he was beaten with these rods. He talks about that. He was stoned. I mean, with rocks, you know, with rocks, he was stoned. Some of y'all, anyway, y'all are slow. Y'all going to wake up here. Some of you thinking, well, at least he got a little relief. No, I mean, he was stoned with rocks, you know, the kind that hurts. But he writes this letter, and here's the thing. He writes this letter in response to the churches, because the church was very discouraged. You see, Paul's goal was that he wanted to go to Rome. It was his lifelong dream to go to Rome and preach a crusade in Rome. And he was, while going to Rome and on his way to Rome, to the capital city, he was arrested. And they said, we're arresting you, and now we're going to chop your head off. And here was Paul. And the church, in the midst of all that, was extremely discouraged. And in that place of discouragement, here was Paul in prison, and he writes this. Look at Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And he says this, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Now look at that, insight. So we need some insight into what we need to do. When the world is going awry around you, when things do not turn out the way you expected them to. We live in an environment where a lot of people have had expectations, even in the political realm, of what they expected to happen, and it didn't go their way, or maybe it, you know, or you don't know what the future holds, and you all this uncertainty. We need some insight as to what to do. And so that not only applies to our nation, but even individually, what do we do? We need some insight. Then he goes on to say, so that you may be able to discern. So we need to discern correctly. And I would just put out here the fact that I think oftentimes we don't discern correctly. We don't discern correctly as to really what is going on and what the matter is all about. And so he says that you would be able to discern what is best and may be pure. So in other words, we need to have the right response so that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so then he gives us what to do about it. He gives us an official response. When any kind of calamity hits, what should our response be? And I want to list these for you. And first one is this, and there's some message notes there in your worship guide. I encourage you to take those out, and you can follow along and fill in these blanks here with us. Look at the first one, and that is, number one, we need the right perspective. We need the right perspective. We need to look at it through the right lens. Now, here was the church of Philippi. They were very discouraged. No crusade was going to happen now. You know, all the equipment, all the sound system had to go back, right? Because the crusade wasn't going to happen. And they were extremely, extremely discouraged. And Paul says, no, 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 no. You do not have the right perspective. You need the right perspective. And look what he says in verse 12. We're just going to take this verse by verse and do a word study through this. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened, look at this, to me has really served to advance the gospel. So you thought it was bad, but actually this is good. And so when things happen, oftentimes we ask the wrong question. We ask the question, why? Why, Lord? Why me? But what we really need to ask is, what now? What now? We need to be saying, God, I know you're up to something. I know this is of no surprise to you. You have a plan. So what is it? What is it? And instead, we cry and we lament and we say, woe is me, or we fuss about it. But what we need to ask is, God, what are you up to? What are you up to? I heard the story of a man that really couldn't give any details because of security reasons, but he was from Iran. And he said that he was in Iran back when they had the Ayatollah in command, and they had the Shah of Iran in command. And now that things were changing and shifting, he was talking about how that during when things were under control there, no one was coming to Christ. But now that things are changing, many people are coming to Christ. And this is news that you won't hear about. You won't hear about. But when here's what I'm trying to say. When they're under oppression, is what he's trying to say. When they were under oppression, that oftentimes people would come more so to Christ. And his word to the United States was, this was a minister inside of Iran, he said, tell the people there, tell your president, tell your leaders, don't liberate us. He said, because oftentimes when there's oppression, there's more being done for the cause of Christ. Now, that's a guy who has the right perspective. Now, he could have said, I want to be free of all this oppression, but he was unselfishly saying, no, the goal is that in the midst of oppression, and even in church history, you'll see that when there was great persecution that happened to the church, that's when the church grew. That's when the church grew. So sometimes we look at things with the wrong perspective. That's what Romans 8 talks about, that we know that all things work together for good. In other words, God has a master plan. And even when your little part doesn't work out and things aren't seem to go right, God has a master plan. We need a higher, a larger, bigger perspective of what God is doing. There's another story in the Bible of a guy named Joseph. And Joseph had some brothers that didn't like him very much, actually sold him into slavery, put him into a pit, sold him into slavery. Then he gets into another position, a place where he's falsely accused. He goes to prison for something he never did, but God promoted him in due time because God had prophecy over his life, and he put him in a position where he was second in command and used him to save the nation and his own family, even the known world at that time. And then when his brothers came to him and it was found out their brother wasn't dead, but here's the guy, he's the second in command. I want you to look at what Joseph's response to them was. Look in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So sometimes we just need the right perspective. So we need to ask the question, God, what are you up to in our nation? Or what are you even up to in our lives? So, number one, we need the right perspective. Number two, look at this. We need to be a part of the solution. So some would say, okay, if the world's coming to an end, my response is, I'm going to hunker down, I'm going to protect me and mine, and we're going to hide out. But can I tell you that as a people of God, we need to be people who rise up and become part of the solution. Look in the next verse, going again verse by verse. Verse 13, as a result, it has become become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word more courageously and fearlessly. So he's saying, hey, I wanted to talk to the people. I wanted to get out on the platform with a loud system, you know, and speak to the people. But instead, I'm now speaking to the leaders, and actually, this is better than the crusade. I'm actually experiencing I'm having the opportunity to speak to the influencers and to the leaders of the nation. And so now, in fact, he goes on to say that others are encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So now there's like 10 other crusades happening out there, you know, because of my persecution. And not only that, but because I've got all this spare time on my hand, I'm actually able to finish the book of Philippians to you, this letter to you, right? So he's got some time to write, right? I mean, just think about it. So here's the thing. When people have problems, it actually causes people to run to where the solution is. And I believe that we as a church need to be that solution. In fact, we say Christ is the hope of the world, but Christ has chosen to use the church, and the church, he's even called us, he's the light of the world, but he's called us to be the light of the world, right? So we are now also the hope of the world because of Christ, because of the light of Christ. You know, I think I like to look at it this way. We're just lighthouses, you know, and we're just holding up the light. It's the true light. It's the light that's within us. It's all Jesus, but he's chosen to use us. So let me just say, the church is the hope of the world. And I believe that when the world is going through problems, it needs to be the church that has a solution. So if things were to go wrong and go bad in your mind of what may be happening in your world and your society as you perceive it, let me tell you, whatever that looks like, God's able to use it for good and raise up the church to be the light in the midst of the darkness. Does this make any sense? Okay? So really, I mean, think about it. 9/11 happened. And what happened after 9/11? The church is filled up. Right? Of course, 6 months later, they emptied back out because, you know, people felt like, okay, I'm okay now. But when people are in trouble, they're going to run to the place of safety. They're going to run to God. Look at this verse in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. But in the last days, are we living in the last days? We could be. Some people believe that we definitely are. I'm not God. I don't know. He said, no man will know the day or the hour. We can know the season. But it's a good possibility. I do know one thing. There is going to be a generation that's going to be the last generation. This could very well be it. But look at this verse. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. Isn't that awesome? So I'm just saying, the darker it gets, listen, light shines brightest in darkness. The darker it gets, the light, the better the light is seen. And we need to be understanding that this place is the place where people come for answers, where they can find the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody? And I believe that God's going to cause the church to rise up. So no matter what happens, even if the world's falling apart, I believe God's favor is going to be upon his people. And people are going to look to us and say, well, how did you do that? And we're going to point to our God. All right? Amen, everybody? Good place for an amen right there. Okay, amen. And so really, our role when things are going wrong is not to moan and groan like the rest of the world. Our position is that we are blessed of the Lord and he is our source, and we position ourselves as a church that becomes the hope of the world. Right? We're here to serve others and to make a difference and be a blessing. Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it's because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. That's why we do the acts of kindness cards. And I encourage you, on the way out, get some acts of kindness cards. Use those. I've had some people coming up telling me that the reaction of, like, a waitress that was given an act of kindness card, and oh my goodness, it's just overwhelming. And I talked to somebody, said they gave one to somebody in line behind them. I said, well, how did it go? I don't know. I didn't talk to them. Well, that's good. We never know, but one day we'll know, all right? But make a difference. Use those acts of kindness cards. So we're to be a part of the solution. Number three, we need to focus on what matters. The church actually was writing Paul. And it said this, while they were saying, while you're in prison, there's other ministries that are growing. You know, you're locked up in a prison, and meanwhile, there's other ministries that are growing. And actually, it's terrible because these preachers are not like you, Paul. They've got impure motives, and they're just a bunch of bad guys out here. And Paul, you know, so what do you want us to do? And look at Paul's response to this in verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Now look at this next statement in form of a question. But what does it matter? Let me put it in our term. So what? So what? It really doesn't matter. He goes on to say this. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. So what he was saying was, so what? You're focusing on the wrong thing. Hey, get your attention back on where it's supposed to be. You're focusing on the wrong thing. People are getting saved. What difference does it make? And I think oftentimes we honestly worry about too much. Right? I mean, we worry about, I heard put it this way, we got our tail over the dashboard. I don't know what that means, but we got our tail over the dashboard. You know, it's just stuff that just really, really doesn't, it doesn't matter. You know, we're going to be in this Christmas season, we're going to worry about stuff that just doesn't matter. Some of us are going to have to experience drama when you go to family and you got extended family and mixed family, and then they're there, and you know, you got that one that always wants to just, you know, show themselves and make a scene. And if you don't know who that is, it might be you. I'm just saying. What difference does it make, you know, how long the rolls are in the oven or not? I mean, you know, just stuff that we worry about, things that just don't matter. And can I just say this as a pastor? We're so easily offended. Oh, my Lord, help us. As Christians, we don't have rights, right? I mean, think of it. Well, I got rights and me and mine and what I think and what I feel. Look, it doesn't matter. So what? So what? You're losing perspective of what this thing is all about. We must, and I tell every person that comes in this church when they go through 101, keep your eyes on Jesus, because offenses is what the enemy loves to use. Don't lose perspective. Paul was over here in chains, chained to a jailer, and yet he kept perspective about what's being, and he had joy. If you read the whole book of Philippians, you'll see there is joy throughout the whole thing. Why? Because Paul said, this isn't about me. Is it about what they do to me? It's not about what they say to me. This is about something larger than that. This is about the kingdom of God and people getting saved. And even if there's guys out there with impure motives, that's all right. God's going to bypass them. He's going to get to somebody's heart, and people are going to come to Christ and know Jesus. Amen, everybody? Right? So keep the right perspective and focus on what really matters. We need an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective. We need to see things in the light of the eternal. In fact, I would encourage you, see people's soul. I mean, pray to God to help you to see their soul. Past their face, past their need, past the mask, see their soul. See that they're an eternal soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And when you look at it that way, they're not a problem, they're an opportunity. For you to pastor, for you to lead, for you to help, for you to guide, for them to make it into heaven. Amen, everybody? Right? So in light of eternity, write this down somewhere. In light of eternity, few things matter. And after you've written this down, write it this way. In light of eternity, few things bother you. Right? James 4 and 14 says this. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So the question we need to ask is not why, but what now? What do I do now? How can I have peace now? You say, well, okay, these are good, Pastor, but how can I experience peace now? Let me go to the end of Philippians, and let me give you this scripture that we're going to break down here. It's going to give you some things I think it's going to help you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And look at what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Look at that. That you're going to have peace when you are thinking about the right things. And then he goes on to say this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now notice in this scripture, he talks about the peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He speaks of the peace of God, but at the end of it, he speaks of the God of peace. Now the peace of God is awesome, but the God of peace is even better. Amen? So I want to look at this. There's three things in this passage that I want to pull out. And this message today is really a two-part. The first part is that we need to have the right response, all right, personally or nationally to what's going on. But then in the end of Philippians, this is for today, for the now. And I'm going to break this down into three questions that I want you to consider as we look at this scripture. Number one is this: have I presented my request to God? I mean, have we? Am I praying about this stuff? And I think oftentimes we have no peace because we have failed to pray. For some of us, our prayer life is a little, and I'm not talking about length or brevity here, but sometimes it's just kind of a formality, a cheesy kind of devotion that we go through and boom, on to the day, and that's it. And I'm telling you, we need to pray. We need a prayer life, right? We need a prayer life. We need to understand the value and the need of praying. Well, we'd say, well, God knows what I need. No, but he wants you to talk with him about it, right? Why? Because he wants a relationship. You see, doesn't want you just to experience the peace of God. He wants you to experience the God of peace. He wants you to know him. He wants to have a right relationship with you. So that's why we, at the beginning of the year, go ahead and set this up. It's going to happen again this year. We're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to seek the Lord. And I encourage you, daily, seek the Lord. We're going to be joining another church online, and we'll be, you could live stream their services, their prayer services in the morning, and join with them and pray. We need to seek the Lord. Pray. We need to pray. Matthew 5:5 says this: blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, that word meek, sometimes we struggle with that. Men think it sounds like weak. We don't like meek. But actually, meek simply means to come to the realization that you can't do it alone. In other words, we got to let go and let God, right? To let go and let God. And we do that through prayer. We say, God, I'm dependent. We talked about this last week. I'm dependent upon you. God, I need your help. I can't do it alone. What we do around here on Sundays, we don't do it in our own strength. It's the strength of the Lord. What we're going to do tonight, we are dependent upon God. We need to ask ourselves this question every Sunday. Does anybody else need God, you know, around here? We all need God, all right? And then you get up on Monday mornings, we need God. We are dependent upon him, and we recognize that. That's what this is talking about. And then it says, blessed are the meek. When we have that realization, it says that they will inherit the earth. God's got more for you, right? When we are dependent upon him. So have I presented my request to God? Am I praying? Look at the second thing. What consumes my mind? What consumes my mind? And notice a lot of what he's talking about here has to do with how we think. How we think, our mind. As the mind goes, so goes everything else, right? Isaiah chapter 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose, everybody say it, mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So what is our mind focused on? If our mind is focused on him, he's going to keep us in perfect peace. There's times I know in our day, in our life, that we get distraught, especially this time of year. I would love to do a survey right now and say, who has finished their Christmas shopping? And we would all just be, I've already talked to somebody who has. But or maybe better question, how many still needs to buy Christmas? Okay, some things. Yeah, okay, there we go. And there's this stress of we got so much to do and there's only so little time, and then and I got to get to the store, and I encourage you all to go to the store. Y'all know why. Go to the store. Don't do it online. Anyway, but there's this stress. For those of you that don't know, I work a secular job. I'm the mailman. Okay, I got home almost 9:00 last night. All right, thank you very much. And so I won't tell you how much mail I had out there delivering parcels in the dark. But anyway. Somebody said something to me. I was coming through the door of the post office in the dark of night last night, and they said, It's enough to make a preacher cuss, isn't it? And my response was, if the words aren't in there, brother, they're not coming out. How about that? Okay? Which is the truth, right? As your mind goes, I mean, if it ain't in there, it ain't in your mind, ain't it coming out your mouth, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Right? And so we need to make sure that, you know, what consumes our mind? What are we thinking about? What thoughts? You say, well, we need to watch what comes out of our mouth. We need to watch what you think, right? Because that's just a manifestation of what's already in there, right? Right? And so what consumes your mind? Look at Lamentations chapter 3. This is kind of, I see this kind of humorously. There's this lamenting, thus the book Lamentations. Read a whole book over lamenting, Lamentations. Look at verse 19. He says, I remember. In other words, it's in my mind. I'm remembering. I'm rehearsing. I remember my affliction and my wandering. I remember all that. I remember the bitterness and I remember the gall. I remember them. I remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. You think? I mean, you think? If that's what you're meditating on, well, of course you're going to be downcast and you're going to be distraught, right? He says, I remember all that. And when I think about it, when it consumes my mind, oh my goodness, it tears me up. He said, Yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Okay, so let's change our thinking. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Come on, let's do a change up, right? I mean, when you're distraught and you don't know what to do, how about just, you know, get out, take a walk, you and God. You know, grab the wife or grab the dog, whatever's convenient. You grab, just take some, and just take a walk, have a conversation with God, and say, Lord God, I don't know how much more I could take. I don't know what you're up to, but help me to see it from your perspective. And I assure you, when you begin to pray, God will take you to a place from where you are to where he is, right? Prayer isn't to change God's mind. It's to change your mind. It's to change you. And when you get on his page, and when you, listen, you get linked up with him, he's going to bring you to a higher perspective and a higher understanding. And all that stuff, those daggers that used to hit you from every direction, and y'all don't know how to deal with all that, those things just fall short, fall flat, and you're like, oh my goodness, it doesn't really matter. What matters is eternity, right? Right? Focus on what matters, right? Okay, so what consumes my mind? I believe, and I hope you're seeing this pattern here. Look at this. We need to pray, right? And then the second thing that we need to do is we need to worship. We need to enter in a place of understanding who he is. So what consumes your mind? How about put some at your house, turn off the news, and put some worship on? And see if it doesn't change the environment of your home. Now, I'm just like the rest of you. I like to get my little news fix on too. And I have conversations with those news people very intensely. You can ask my family. Guilty. I've been there, done that. I have conversations with my television, and they still keep saying the same stuff over and over again. Okay, we get that. Okay, but some point you got to balance this thing out. You got to switch this thing around, switch that thing off, turn some worship on, and see if the environment doesn't change. I mean, right now, just go ahead. Put you some of you don't like this, but I don't know what's wrong with if you don't. Put some traditional Christmas music on. Come on, put some Bing Crosby, some Andy Williams. I don't know. Put somebody on there singing some 'Tis the Season to be Jolly. You know, something to change the environment and the climate in your home. But here's what's most important is that we in this midst of this Christmas season, seriously, folks, we need to be worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and recognize the greatest gift that's ever been given to us and get our mind off of this stuff. We're talking about peace in the midst of all this season, right? And focus on what really matters. And what matters is that God gave his greatest gift, that God so loved the world. Oh, my goodness. Give a shout out to Oliver McQueen right now, because I got a call from Hawaii this week where Cody said, "Pastor, I just want you to know that Oliver has memorized John 3:16." And then after that, I think he put it on Facebook. But let me just join right with Oliver and say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, that's the gospel in a nutshell, and that's what it's all about. Amen, everybody? Amen, amen. So we need to create an atmosphere of worship. Look at this third thing. Am I practicing God's word? Notice what we're talking about here. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about worship. We're talking about the word. Psalm 119 says this, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." When we are practicing and following God's word, go back and listen to the message last week about principles. Are we following or are we obeying God's word? There is a Prince of Peace. Those two go together. He's Lord, he's in charge, and when he's in charge, we're following his principles. It will produce peace. You can't have one without the other, all right? So are we following his law? Are we following his word? If we do, nothing can make us stumble. Look at Matthew chapter 7. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus said, "and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundations is on the rock," right? And so if we'll do these things, I'm telling you, you're going to have, for this Christmas season, you're going to have the best week of your life. Come on, if you do these things, you're going to have the best life of your life, right, as you follow the Lord. And so I want to give you an invitation today to experience not only the peace of God, but the God of peace. Amen, everybody? I want you just to bow your heads with me for just a moment. And you may have heard this and you say, you know, well, I'm in the season, it's stressful, I've been through some things. And honestly, Pastor, I'm not really experiencing that peace that you're talking about. In fact, it seems that God is very distant from me right now. Can I tell you that if you're feeling that way, and you're feeling a distance between you and God, let me just encourage you by letting you know that Jesus came to destroy that distance, to destroy that barrier between you and God. When we come to him, we simply come to him and say, "Lord, I just surrender to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to experience that closeness. I want to experience that peace." Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit right now, he begins to knock at our heart. And if you feel that way, it's the Holy Spirit saying, making you aware that there's a need there. There's a need. It's the Holy Spirit knocking at your heart saying, there's a need in your life. But only God can feel that. Only God can feel that. What I would like to do, I'd like to lead you in a prayer today where you can establish him as the Lord of your life. Or perhaps you've drifted where you're not in that relationship that you know you need to be with him. You're not as close to him as you know you need to be. I want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you today, and you say, I'm ready. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This is a private moment. There's other ways to declare this publicly, and we could talk about that. But right now, this is between you and God. I just want to lead you in prayer. But as I do, if you're watching online, I encourage you just to stop chatting and just pray along with us. And if you're here in this church today, as we pray, I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. Would you do me a favor? Just look up at me and just kind of wave at me. Just make eye contact and let me know that's you, who I'm agreeing with. Just right now, just boldly, just slip up a hand. Just say, "Pastor, when you pray, count me in that." Bless you. Let's pray together. Can we do this? I believe it's important that we confess with our mouth. The Bible says we believe in our heart and confess in our mouth, with our mouth. I want to encourage everybody to join in this prayer. For those that need this, need to pray this, that need privacy, let's just pray this together. Come on, just pray this. Just say, "Lord, today I thank you for coming for me, coming to die on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord, for healing my heart today, for giving me peace. I want to be close to you. I want to be in right relationship with you. And so today I ask you to come in and make me brand new on the inside. God, I surrender my life. I thank you for paying for my sin debt. I turn from my ways to follow you with all of my heart. Lord, I give you my life. Thank you. I declare you as Lord of my life. Thank you for coming in and making me brand new today. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I thank you, and I rejoice with every person who needed to pray that, for those that even prayed it online. Lord, I pray for them today. God, I pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you, O Lord, would just flood them with your peace. God, cause their life to begin to make sense as they follow you today. Let them understand their purpose. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would guide them one step at a time as they follow you as the Lord of their life. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this house. I rejoice with the angels in heaven over the decisions that have been made today. And Lord, I just pray for this entire church. Church, would you just do this? Would you just kind of open up your hands? Just position yourself. It's nothing mystical, but just in a posture saying, God, I'm just open. I receive from you today. I just want to pray a blessing. Father, I pray in this Christmas season, I pray blessing. I pray your peace. I pray that the God of peace, Lord, would just infiltrate their life. God, I pray, Father, that this week will be filled with purpose and with meaning, and Lord God, with your presence. For Father, we know that it's not just presence around the tree that we need. We need your presence. God, we need your presence. And we invite you in our homes. We invite you in our lives, God. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, God, now to go forth and be the light that you've called us to be, to represent who you are to this world. God calls us to rise up and move into our purpose and to fulfill that. Lord, we love you today. We give you all the praise and honor for all accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.